from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Saul Gonzalez. The state wants to establish a mandatory ethnic studies curriculum for all students in California public schools. That as a way to teach about marginalized minority and immigrant communities. But the draft curriculum has ignited a firestorm of criticism. Some say it's way too politically correct, with hardly a word about conservative points of view. Jewish groups, meanwhile, argue the curriculum barely mentions anti-Semitism or the legacy of the Holocaust. Jesse Gabriel is a state assemblyman from the San Fernando Valley and vice chair of the Legislative Jewish Caucus.
The curriculum reflects an anti-Jewish bias. It omits anti-Semitism. It goes through and it talks about the importance of studying hate crimes and prejudice and discrimination, and specifically discusses more than a dozen other forms of bias and discrimination, but omits anti-Semitism. In the few places where it does acknowledge the Jewish community, it does so in a denigrating and I would argue discriminatory fashion. It recommends song lyrics that are talking about Jewish control of the media, which is just this classic anti-Semitic trope. And then it sort of goes out of its way to criticize Israel, to bring in things that are, you know, traditionally outside the boundaries of the disciplinary boundaries of American ethnic studies, to single out and offer a very one-sided perspective on the Arab-Israeli conflict. So to me, I don't think that we can hope to stop anti-Semitism if we can't even acknowledge it.
Why do you think that is? If that's your reading of what's in this curriculum right now, why do you think that happened?
What we've been able to uncover so far is that this curriculum was drafted by a very small number of people, and that there was a little bit of an irregular process. I understand that normally the evaluation of this kind of curriculum would be a two-day in-person meeting, and it was sort of rushed through in a two-hour telephonic meeting. So I don't think that there was enough attention or oversight to this curriculum. But it's really troubling to us. Hate crimes against Jews have increased more than any other group in 2018. That, you know, Jews are consistently in the top three targets with African Americans in the LGBTQ community. That we're the top target for religiously based hate crimes, and yet this curriculum completely omits discussion of anti-Semitism. So it's a really, really troubling thing for us. And I think it's something that we're hoping to, you know, as we're going to sit, but now back in Sacramento and going to have conversations with folks at the State Board of Education to try to uncover how did we even get to this place where we have a draft curriculum that in so many different ways reflects an anti-Jewish bias.
Assemblymember Jesse Gabriel, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman will hold a press conference later this morning to address concerns raised by the Legislative Jewish Caucus. Meanwhile, State Board of Education President Linda Darling-Hammond has released a statement saying the draft curriculum falls short and needs to be substantially redesigned. We called the State Department of Education and asked Deputy Superintendent Stephanie Gregson about the controversy.
Once we received the draft from this advisory committee, we felt that there were some state board guidelines that were not met in this initial draft. For instance, I'll give you an example, that one of our state board guidelines requires the model curriculum to be inclusive, creating space for all students, regardless of race, ethnicity, class, gender, sexuality, or citizenship, to learn different perspectives. And we don't feel that that's represented well in this current draft form.
Again, that was Deputy Superintendent of Education Stephanie Gregson. Now to housing. Tens of thousands of low-income renters in California keep roofs over their heads through a federal program called Section 8. It provides government-issued vouchers to people that help them pay for their rent. But a lot of landlords refuse to take Section 8. So, following the lead of LA and San Diego, the San Jose City Council just passed a law making it illegal to discriminate against renters who use the vouchers. KQED's Sonia Hudson introduces us to one woman who hopes the change will help her find housing.
Demetria Spikes has been trying to use her Section 8 voucher in San Jose for 5 years.
Made me feel like I was a loser at life.
Where is she living now? She's homeless and sleeping on a bus, kind of. Spikes says she can usually only sleep 3 hours per night.
The bus could be scary at times because you don't know who's going to sit by you or what kind of mood they're going to be in. Some of them get on the bus with knives.
Spikes is hardly alone in her struggle to use a voucher. A recent study by the city found 2/3 of listings on Craigslist did not accept Section 8. Research shows Section 8 non-discrimination laws are effective at helping people like Spikes. Areas with them have a 42% lower voucher rejection rate than those that don't. That's according to a study by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development.
The biggest issues with the program are more procedural.
Michael Pierce is the president of Prodigy Property Group, which manages almost 500 units in San Jose. There's a multi-step process, including passing a unit inspection, that can take up to 2 months before the federal government can start making rent payments.
That's one of the biggest issues when you've got a smaller owner who doesn't have a lot of units. They may not be able to afford to wait 2 months because they've got mortgage payments and other things that they've got to make for their property.
Housing advocates say they suspect there are other unspoken biases at play. For instance, voucher holders are predominantly people of color, more than 85% in San Jose. Peggy Bailey is with the nonpartisan Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
And for someone's racism, basically, to lead to a family being unable to have a place to live should be unacceptable.
During the city council meeting, landlords expressed concern that the new rule will open them up to lawsuits. But, like similar laws across the state, San Jose's allows landlords to reject applicants based on credit scores or rental history, or just raise their rents high enough to screen out voucher holders. For the California Report, I'm Sonia Hudson.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, offering wealth management and online financial tools to help customers manage their money with transparency and control. More information at personalcapital.com. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose Fund for Strategic Innovation supports transformative ideas that benefit humanity while protecting the natural world, recognizing through science the interdependence of all living systems. And the James Irvine Foundation, committed to a California where all low-income workers have the power to advance economically. Learn more at irvine.org.
And that's the California Report for Wednesday, August 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Saul Gonzalez. For all of us here, thanks for listening.